Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Bump and Stacy
on Seattle Sports Station.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union. Streaming through the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Rost.
Here we go now.
Happy Tuesday to everyone. Bump, you feeling like it's a slow week already? I'm feeling Tuesday.
Yeah, I'm feeling Tuesday.
Tuesday
is like our hump day.
Yeah.
I feel like Tuesday, because Monday we come back from the Seahawks.
You're right. Monday's basically Friday. They're the same.
Boom. Tuesday kind of slows down a bit. Wednesday, you start preparing for the Carolina Panthers. Thursday's the huddle. Fridays, we're getting ready for the weekend. So we are here to help you get through your Tuesday.
Yeah. Yeah. We're here for you. We support you. In fact, I'm going to get the show started with a question for listeners. You can respond at the Mac and Jack's text line, 866-979-3776. It's a simple one. It's an easy one. Have the Mariners done enough this offseason? Have they done enough this offseason? 866-979-3776. Bump, before I tell you what I got in front of me right now,
okay.
What do you think?
They signed Brian Reynolds yet?
No.
Nah?
No, they didn't trade for him.
Nah, so it ain't enough then. It's not enough then. You got Wong. We appreciate that. You got Teoscar. We appreciate that, right? Your outfield is looking a bit more better. Your middle infield is looking a bit more better. But I would like another bat, maybe, you know?
I wouldn't mind another bat.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind.
The Seattle Times, a feature written by Ryan Divish from the winter meetings happening right now, has a quote from Jerry Dipoto, the president of baseball ops, is quoted as saying, in years past, especially in recent years, you come in with either A, more needs, or B, the notion that you're just going to find ways to improve. And one way or another, the core of what you see now is our team. And there's not a lot of areas we think we can improve upon greatly. But then later added, we'd like to find one more bat, maybe two. We're open to doing it. This is important. But we're also perfectly happy to go now with what we have.
I don't know how to take this.
I don't feel good about it.
Is this like just gamesmanship?
It could be.
You know, just you don't want to let your opponent know your next move. If this is what we're doing, then I completely understand that. But something tells me that he might be serious. Now, we talk about the core of this team. I think the core is good. I think there's a nice foundation there.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want a rambler. I want like a two-story grand house with vaulted ceilings. You know what I'm saying? Right now, I think we got a cool rambler in a nice neighborhood.
Yep.
Which is fine.
Which is great.
You can host people.
I grew up in a rambler.
Yeah, nothing wrong with a rambler.
Lovely. You don't have to walk up and down stairs. As you guys know, I struggle with that.
It's true.
Ramblers are nice. But when you're a kid and you talk about what you want to be when you grow up, what kind of house you want, no one says I want a two or three bedroom.
No, because you
rambler.
Know the ultimate sign of wealth when you were younger?
What's that?
Stairs.
Exactly. Exactly.
Stairs in your house.
Well, my grandma,
if you had stairs in your house, you were a millionaire.
Well, my grandma expanded her rambler, put stairs on it. I'm like, oh, we rich. We are rich.
It was next level. When I went and hung out with my friend,
literally
shout out Jennifer.
Next level.
Yeah. Shout out Jennifer, my very best friend when I was in elementary school. She had stairs in her house. When I would walk down the stairs in the morning if we had sleepovers, I would be like, wow.
It's amazing.
This is something else.
Pretending to be like Hillary Banks, Fresh Prince, like no, walking down the stairs.
Not even that. And
sashaying.
She's all that. Walk down the stairs, kiss me, and like having my entrance moment. I agree with you, though. It's like, look, you got a good foundation. The foundation's fine.
Yeah, it's
maybe build on it, though. Let's add those stairs.
Expand just a little bit.
I wouldn't mind the stairs. Brian Reynolds is the stairs. I wouldn't mind that at all. Let's look at see what listeners have said. My girl Brittany just says, LMAO. When I asked if they'd added 425, absolutely not. They're not done. So I'm not panicked, but they better not be done. Now, 425, I'm with you. I'm like, they can't be done.
Nah.
They can't be done. I don't believe Jerry. I mean, I really, really hope he's just doing some gamesmanship and you know, trying to figure it out. I mean, Curtis, you mentioned it earlier. As far as what they've added, they have added two bats. Colton Wong, who we spoke to yesterday. Awesome dude. Teoscar Hernandez. Great. Trevor got a bullpen arm, and you said they hadn't even added.
They haven't even added a lefty bullpen arm.
Exactly.
Like, you've still got that to check off.
253, absolutely not. 253 says we have to add at least one more big bat. Two would be better, and this is important from the 253, or we're still trailing the Astros. I know the Astros, they're not done making moves. They've moved on from Justin Verlander, or rather, Justin Verlander's moved on from them. He signed with the Mets. You can't compete with that kind of money. Fine. They also added Jose Abreu, and they're not slowing down, right? Like, last year's World Series MVP, not going anywhere, had a phenomenal first season for them. They have 1,000,005 other superstars on that roster that we, unfortunately, were bore witness to in the postseason and many times during the regular season. Houston hasn't gotten worse. Have the Mariners gotten better? Yeah. Have they closed the gap enough?
No, definitely not. And I think it's going to be hard for the Mariners to close the gap unless they're willing to break out the wallet and pay $300 million for somebody, which I don't think they're going to do. And even if they do that, I think for them to close the gap, they're going to have guys within their team already develop even more. Because it's not as simple as just going out and getting one of these big names. That's definitely going to help, right? You're going to get a yard or two on the competition. But for this thing to really happen, like, even Julio has to get better. Cal has to get better. You know, Suarez has to come back and do his thing. So it's multiple moves need to be made with the development of your team already. But a big splash makes you feel a lot better about where they're going.
Yep. listeners echoing you, Bump. 360, spend with a dollar sign for the S. 801 says, what's their history? That's my fear. Meaning, like, I'm worried, like, if they haven't spent a lot now, I'm worried. 206. I don't think the Mariners have done enough this offseason because we've also lost some depth with Toro and Swanson gone. Winker and Lewis are going to have excellent years next year. Now, knock on wood, that, I mean, I want the best for those guys. Hopefully they don't. But if they do, that also, like, really hurts. 509 says that quote makes me sick to my stomach. This is interesting here. Andrew in Seattle. The M's are ahead of schedule, but the offseason isn't done, and they shouldn't be either. You think they're ahead of schedule?
Ahead of schedule? No, ahead of schedule to me would be getting Trey Turner. We just saw him go to Philly for, what, 11 years, $300 million. Ahead of schedule would be getting one of these big names, getting Reynolds already. You know what I'm saying? That's ahead of schedule for me. To me, right now, they are on pace to what we thought they were going to do and how they were going to approach this offseason.
Let's see. They haven't spent before. Do they not remember the $252 million we gave Robinson? Today was actually the anniversary of him getting that contract. Although, important to note, Curtis, it is the what year anniversary?
It's the 10-year anniversary.
Exactly. So they haven't spent in a really long time.
That was not Jerry DePoto's front office. No. That was Jack Zrenzik, who also went out and signed Nelson Cruz to a free agent deal. And that worked out quite well. There are good benefits to spending in free agency.
Exactly. Speaking of, by the way, Craig in the 425 says, y'all are weird. Stairs have always and will always suck. I can tell you what, Craig grew up with stairs.
He grew
up with stairs. You don't even know what you had, Craig.
You know what? I like stairs so much that when my knees go out, I'm just going to get that little lift that you sit on.
I'm going to get one of those just not even having stairs.
Yeah, I think Stacey needs one now.
Okay, Curtis. That's enough. Here's the question that I was going to from the 360. No, I don't think they've spent enough. But is there a free agent bat worth adding? If not, the follow-up should be, what are we willing to give up to get one? And I love that question because if you want to trade for Reynolds, what's it going to cost?
That's the focus. The focus should be Reynolds. And you hear these guys talk about Reynolds just like they talked about Castillo. Remember when they talked about Castillo? Like, man, we've had our eye on him for a few years now. Mm-hmm. We tried to get him, didn't work out. We're hearing the same story with Brian Reynolds. Like, look, we've been eyeing this guy for a few years. They wanted Julio. We're like, nah, we'll wait. So I'm hoping that history repeats itself, recent history repeats itself, and they say, okay, we've done our due diligence. All right, we've worked out a deal, and we're going after our guy, Brian.
Curtis, what might it cost to get Brian Reynolds? Like, throw in a, I know you aren't projecting an exact deal, but what names would you expect to be part of that?
I'd expect guys like Emerson Hancock, maybe Matt Brash. I would expect probably Jared Kelnick in there.
But do you think they'd want one of the starters, Kirby or Gilbert?
I don't think the Mariners would be willing to give up either one of those guys. Especially because the rotation depth, if you give up one of them, drops off significantly.
Yes.
Unless they want to go with Chris Flexen and Marco Gonzalez as part of their rotation next year, which I still have a hard time believing. I'm surprised that Chris Flexen hasn't been moved yet. Like, that's a stunner to me that they have not found anybody or just haven't found the right deal yet. But you're looking at names that we have either seen at the major league level or names that are kind of knocking on the door right now.
Now, I would co-sign a million times over a trade for Reynolds. If you were to add another bat in free agency, let's assume it's an outfielder where you could use another corner outfielder. So you right now have Teoscar Hernandez, Julio Rodriguez, and then some guys, you know, for depth with Trammell still being there. Adding a free agent outfielder as a starter, like a good enough bat, kind of means you're giving up on Jared Kelnick. So even in free agency, you're making a decision. Would you guys add a free agent bat and kind of give up on Jared?
That's a tough one because he plays with your heart.
I know.
He'll come out.
It's tempting.
He'll have the clutch moments. He looks good.
You root for him.
You root for him. You're learning to appreciate his approach, his personality, his lack of sense of humor. You're like, okay, we're accepting. That's one thing that people are in Seattle. They're very accepting of who you are. Even if they don't really agree with it, they're like, look, you have the right to do whatever you want to do. Right? So, and then you have those moments where you feel like you just can't count on them. So how many chances does a guy like Jared Kelnick get? At this point, I think that it'd be hard for me to push the button. You know what I mean? Like my hand is hovering over the button.
The eject button.
Yeah, and I'm thinking long and hard about it, but I wouldn't be against it, no.
Yeah. 206 says no, it just means you're taking the pressure off of him. Sure, but I think Jared Kelnick wants every opportunity to be your regular outfielder.
For sure.
So it's about Jared's own happiness as well. Is he gonna be like, then trade me?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I think by far, consensus from the Mackajacks text line is that they have not added enough, with really just the follow-up questions being, what if Jerry DePoto's just saying this because they're still certainly going to add and he's just trying to sound confident?
I'm just going to believe that. I'm just going
to
go with that.
I'm going to choose to live that truth.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to choose to believe.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we'll see what happens. All right. We have Mariners guest today. We're getting to Jason Churchill at 11. We're going to continue this conversation with him in a little under an hour. Don't worry. We've got plenty of Seahawks coming your way, including a conversation about building around Geno next. Right now, let's get to headline rewrites.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
Headline rewrites.
We must make headlines.
The real story behind the headlines in today's news with Bump and Stacey.
Headline number one, Michael Penix Jr. not named one of the four Heisman Trophy finalists. What's the real headline?
Michael Penix Jr., a victim of team overperformance. If Michael Penix Jr. was the quarterback of Georgia, he'd be your winner.
Yeah.
Fully convinced of it.
He'd win this thing.
Instead, you know, you've got a clear front runner, and then you've got three other guys who are invited.
It's almost like you can't even call this the best football player in the country award. It's the best football player on the best team award.
And it's the best quarterback.
It's the best quarterback.
Exactly. Well, when's the last time? Is Reggie Bush the no? Devontae Smith won it as a receiver a few years back.
Yep.
But typically, it's a quarterback award. Just call it what it is then, because there's no reason Michael Penix should not be sitting in New York getting ready with his suit on. Probably not to win it, but to at least be invited there and have that experience, because he's definitely earned it.
Yeah, it's like a happy medium between sometimes it genuinely is a player that's taken over college and you're like, this guy is overseeing this team going to a college football playoff or like an elite bowl game or whatever because of his performance. Other times, like Stetson Bennett, it's just a cool story on the best team in the country.
Yeah.
Which is...
It's a lifetime achievement award
that's
for him.
That's what it is. Bennett's not going to win, but how... If the Huskies were undefeated, or rather if Michael Penix Jr. was on Alabama, on Georgia, on TCU, on Michigan, I mean, Ohio State, I fully believe he would be a front runner.
Yeah, for sure.
Headline rewrites.
Headline number two, the Bucs needed a last-second touchdown in order to beat the lowly Saints 17-16 on Monday Night Football. What's the real headline?
The NFC South, horrible against everyone, unless they're playing the Seahawks. That's one of my least favorite random stats. Not even a stat. Random bits of trivia from this year is that the Seahawks are 0-3 against the worst division in football.
Who do they play this Sunday?
A team from that division, the Carolina Panthers, the last of four.
I don't get it. I don't understand. It, but it is what it is. What I did like about that game last night, I mean, again, I've become a Tom Brady fan over the last 2-3 years. And to see him drive down the field, first they had to make the decision to punt the football and give the Saints the ball. Defense comes through clutch. Tom Brady drives these guys down the field. You think he scored a touchdown. There's a holding call on the offensive line. Then you got to run that. You got to, what, two or three more plays to get you into the end zone. They score with like 3 seconds left. It was the latest go-ahead touchdown win by Tom Brady in his 50-year career.
Why do you think we like Tom Brady more recently? Obviously, if you're a Patriots fan or if you're like a Rob Lowe style, like I root for every team, you've always liked Tom Brady. If you are someone who has lost to the Patriots in heartbreaking manner, which most NFL teams have, you've hated Tom. At some point or another, you have hated Tom Brady because everyone loves underdogs. It's the best thing about sports. And Tom Brady was an underdog for a couple years until he wasn't, and then for decades was top of his game. But recently, that sentiment is also my sentiment and the sentiment of many people I know, which is like, I kind of like Tom Brady now. Was it going to the Bucks? Was it getting older? Like, what was it that made him more likable?
Combination.
Getting out from that Patriots machine.
That might have been what it was for me, too. I think I liked him more when he went to Tampa Bay, and I was like, okay, now I can just kind of respect that he's great instead of hating the Patriots for always winning and being exceptionally boring.
I like him, one, because he's old. And see an old man out there at 45 years old carve these young defenses up is fun. Again, he's not associated with the Patriots anymore. And he seemed more human. My man was drunk on a boat throwing the Lombardi trophy around.
That's when I decided I love Tom.
Yeah. He had to be held walking off the boat to his car.
His daughter yelling,
human.
Dad, no.
He's
I was
human.
Like, wow.
We thought he was a robot. He still might be a robot.
He still kind of
But
is.
He put a different. They put a different chip in him now. Like, make more relatable
yeah,
chip.
They were like, add increased personality 20%. And he was like, yeah.
Hey, my man's going through divorce right now, too, man.
Even more.
He's got divorced dad energy.
He does. It's like, even though he's a bajillionaire, I imagine him living in, like, an apartment that's entirely, like, carpeted with a single armchair and a TV.
It's like a folding chair. It's not even like a Lazy Boy or anything.
Yeah.
And then his TV is on like a milk crate. Very bachelor energy. Have I ever lived like that before? Who's to say?
Absolutely. Until you met Brenna, I'm convinced you had. I am shocked how many guy friends I have who...
You like go over to their place and it's like you have one fork and one plate.
Or not even that. Like we had like a game night and one of our friends came over and was shocked that we had like... Oh, wow. Look how many glasses you have. What? Eight? Eight glasses?
Are you feeding your crowd every night?
Yeah, exactly. Like the idea of having like silverware for eight people or instead of just one was like, wow.
Headline rewrite.
What are throw pillows? Why do they exist? You know, do you
pillows.
Sleep on
for
your couch?
Real. That is
throw
the silliest thing
throw
in the world.
Throw pillows have a purpose.
They
are
no
decor.
Purpose
that's not.
They
that's
end up
not
on the floor
true.
Every
no,
night.
No, they're comfortable.
Nah.
They add. They
they're
add warmth to a room.
Nah.
Decor to a room.
You know what I do to throw pillows? I throw them things off the dang bed, the couch. What are we doing?
They're decoration.
What are we doing?
They add. You don't even realize it, but they add. No one likes flossing your teeth, but it's important that you do it.
Don't.
No one. I love throw pillows.
We know.
I'm sure.
You give off that energy, Stacey. Headline number three. The Titans have fired John Robinson as GM just days after A.J. Brown torched Tennessee for 119 yards and two touchdowns. What's the real headline?
Standard operating procedure for a team in first place about to win their division.
I mean, are they that salty that A.J. just tore them up like that?
There is an argument to be made that, like, okay, I can see the case for deciding to move on from John Robinson. They've had some misses. But you were... Were they the number one seed last year in the AFC?
Yeah,
number one seed last year in the AFC. Now, you cost yourself. They've always lost in the most important moments in heartbreaking fashion. But is that entirely John Robinson? And also, what has he done to deserve being fired mid-season? You're in first place in your division.
Like we were saying in Sports Bit, I think Curtis brought it up. What's the GM's purpose at this point of the season? Like, you're just really gearing up for the draft. There's nothing you're going to do right now that's going to affect this team. I think this was just a reaction to number 11 wearing green and doing his thing.
Do you think that firing a GM sends a bad message to a team, though? A team in first place, that there's some kind of instability at one of the most important jobs?
Man, these players ain't worried about no GM.
I am.
Head coach, offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator,
hey,
that's what they're worried
about.
If I'm
in my last year as a player and maybe I'm not having a career year, but I know that like whoever they bring in, that person's career isn't tied to me.
Well, yeah, especially if the GM is giving you insurances, like, hey, we'll pick up your option.
Yeah.
Hey, we'll renegotiate.
Yeah. Hey, we really love what you're doing
for
us.
You know how you counter that? Ball out. If you're balling, you're good. Whether it's here or with somebody else, I don't think players are worried about
it. It still adds pressure.
I feel like there might have been some strife in the front office for the Titans to make this decision on the outside on a whim. But who knows? Maybe there was something bubbling underneath that kind of spilled over the last couple days, and John Robinson was like, I'm out. But it's also weird, too, because he signed a multi-year extension back in February.
What big missteps would they have had outside of A.J. Brown?
Some people have pointed to their draft classes as of late, which haven't been particularly good. They drafted that offensive lineman out of Georgia. I think his name was Isaiah Wilson, who never even appeared
in
the game.
And he had huge character issues, right?
Yeah, and then obviously trading away A.J. Brown and replacing him with Treylon Burks, who hasn't been particularly good this season. So maybe that's part of it, but you're still in first place. You've had a very good run over the last few years, but
I don't really get it.
Enough.
If you would have chosen Derrick Henry over A.J. Brown, and then Derrick Henry was out for the season and you just had no answers, I get that, you know, being frustrated, but they're also in like a not super great cap situation with Tannehill, who I think might have the highest cap hit of any quarterback this year. I need to double check that, but I'm pretty sure.
Craig in the 425 says, if throw pillows are so comfy, why do I get yelled at for using them as pillows?
Well, because you have to be careful with them. You can lean on them, but like, you know, are you leaning too hard on it? They're decor.
You sound insane.
What's wrong with decor? There are candles in my house that are not meant to be lit.
Crazy.
That's just how it is. Just accept it, okay? Seattle Sports has your chance to win tickets to see the Seahawks host the San Francisco 49ers on December 15th. As a heads up, you guys, that is Thursday night football at Lumen Field. So for info plus a direct link to enter the sweepstakes, text the word Thursday. I know it's confusing, but it's Thursday night football. Thursday, Thursday, to our new text line, 866-979-3776. Again, text the word Thursday to 866-979-3776. That will send you a link to enter. You are not automatically entered, but it will send you a link for those Thursday night ticket sweepstakes. Coming up, the balancing act of building around Geno Smith. It's trickier than you might think. That's next.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studio, this is Seattle Sports Station. You're listening to Bump and Stacy,
powered by Kitsap Credit Union.
Now, before I even get to this, a lot of throw pillow slander happening on the Mac and Jack's text line right now from listeners.
Well deserved.
A lot of you guys clearly don't understand the intention and point of decor.
Give me the intention.
The intention is to have you walk into a home and feel comfortable and warm, and it looks pretty and everything looks nice.
So you want someone to walk through the door and go, oh, that's nice.
Yeah, I do. Instead, I mean, you can sit on a throw pillow, lean on a throw pillow, but just don't lean too hard on it. 253 says leaning too hard on a pillow. Yeah, they're not there to be slept on. They're there to I guess you could use them, I suppose. You guys clearly don't understand the intention of throw pillows. And someone else says, what do you mean candles that aren't supposed to be lit? Some candles are not supposed to be lit. They're there for decoration. They're not there to be used.
The
use of some things is to brighten a room.
The worst is going over to somebody's house and you see that their couch has a million throw pillows on it. And you're like, I really want to sit down. But then it's like, if I move these pillows, they're probably going to throw a fit. So it's like, what do you do in that instance?
First of all, I only have like max three throw pillows per couch.
How many couches? Two?
Three? Two.
It's not bad, I guess.
It's not bad.
It's not bad.
It's not the worst thing in the world.
Okay.
Okay. Come on. Someone said I got in so much trouble for taking a nap on a throw pillow one time. Rightfully so. Rightfully so. That's not what it's for. Moving on. We're going to talk about the balancing act of building around Geno Smith. What do I mean by that? Well, I'm going to play you some sound first, and then we'll dive in. This is from Lewis Riddick. This morning, he was talking about, you know, being surprised by Geno's success, kind of low-key expecting it might happen because of the confidence Pete Carroll had in the preseason when he interviewed him. But what he's seen from Geno, he says, Geno is a star.
I don't care what his history is. History is, he's a bona fide starter. Now that's up to John and Pete to figure out, now how do we value that? How do we value that in terms of the structure, length, guaranteed money, of a quarterback who has never played like this before in his life for this sustained period of time at 32 years old. How do we do this relative to, you know, do we also look towards the future and get someone else in here that could possibly be another long-term solution and or trade piece or something along those lines in the event that this was a 1 year we caught, you know, a shooting star, which I don't think they have.
No. He makes a good point. Geno has shown you everything you need to see to make you think he could be your starter and should be your starter next year. However, he has shown you all of that over 1 year. You are well within your right to think, you know what, I don't believe it's a one-year thing. But you have no way of knowing for sure. So even if you believe in Geno, if you build for a future that includes Geno, you have to have a contingency plan, right?
Yeah, simply because of his age. If he were 24, 25, 26, you can say, all right, man, let's sign him for a while, and we'll deal with whatever happens after this. But the thing that bothers me is people who just want to ignore what he's doing. You didn't ignore when he was throwing 21 interceptions with New York. You didn't ignore when he was getting hit in the jaw in the locker room. Like, people dialed in so much on the negative, okay, and rightfully so, because yeah, that's what you saw. That's what you got. That it bothers me that people want to ignore what he's doing today. Now, I understand it hasn't been a 2 or 3 year run. It's been 12 weeks. But if you are that curious, if you're the Seahawks, let him go. See what else. Let him go shop and see what else is out there, and let the league set the market value for him. Because there's some teams out there who are going to take him, who are looking at Geno right now and saying, I will take that dude right now. I understand the hesitancy, but just don't ignore, we are seeing some great quarterback play. And I don't think, Stace, great quarterback play happens on accident, especially in the NFL. Now, we're talking Friday nights, varsity football. Man, you see some quarterbacks do some things, you're like, you'll never play like that again.
Yep.
Accidents happen on Fridays. On Sundays, for 12 weeks, consistency, I don't think this is an accident.
You have the number 3 overall pick. You using it on a quarterback?
Definitely not.
Why?
Definitely not. Because you don't need a top 5 quarterback right now. What you need is some defensive line help. You know, some linebacker help. That's what you need right now. You look at this team, you draft what you need. Do you think we need a quarterback?
No.
So I ain't touching him. You know, one is around fifth round. All right, let's go ahead and get him.
Oh, I would even consider like day 2. But the thing is, if your defense was better, I'd be more tempted. Your defense needs help. Your defense, it's really confusing because you have guys that are out there that can be ballers. Like Jordan Brooks is a good player.
Yeah.
Right? We know Tariq Woolen's a good player. He's still got some learning curves in coverage and stuff. And Pete kind of hinted at that in his postgame presser, but they know they have something special. Quandre's a good player. Jamal's a good player. I know some people doubt him because of that trade, but he's a good player. He just needs to stay on the field. Do you have enough on your line?
No, he needs
Do you have
help
enough
there.
Up front? That's the thing. And like, I think that what people get nervous about with this defense is it's not a bad year for a good defense. It's now going on, what, 5 years? Or so of a defense getting progressively worse each and every year. And bottom third of the league is a problem. It's one thing if it's like, yeah, we have a defense that ranks 10, 11, 12 every year. Mm-hmm. It doesn't need to be the Legion of Boom, but you have a defense that's, what, 31st against the run, something like that?
Yeah.
Like 31st against the pass, last 2 consecutive years.
Mm-hmm.
That's not good.
No, it's not good. You want... If your defense is, like you said, around the middle, you know, top half of the league, and you're winning ball games, then, okay, you can work with this. Now, you're winning ball games, but you're looking at how you're losing ball games and who you're losing to, and you're like, okay, that's not going to be sustainable. Because once you get into the playoffs, especially when it's cold out there, you're going to have to be able to run the football, or you're going to have to be able to tackle. And that's just something that this defense has struggled with. There are good pieces on the defense. Like you just mentioned, what, 5 or 6 players where you're like, yeah, these guys are good to go. But the name of the game is getting better. And there's no way you can look at the numbers and the performance and say, all right, I'm good with this defense. We're just going to ride it out with these guys and see what happens. Nah, man. And that's the messed up part about the business is that dudes get replaced all the time. Yeah. They're always looking to get better. It's a performance-based business. If you're not getting it done, you're going to find someone else to do it. And that's just the reality, as harsh as it sounds, because we love these dudes on this team. We are invested. We're 12 weeks in. I can name you everybody on this defense and their backups. Yep. Same thing with the offense. But end of the day, the goal is to get better and to stop some of the leaks. And right now, the run game is leaking.
And Gino playing well couldn't make it more clear that, like, yeah, you still want a plan. It can be a day two plan.
Yeah.
It could be a day three plan. Mm-hmm. Important continuing conversation. 253 says, yes, some candles are just decorations. I bet some ex-players have helmets sitting around their house for decoration, but they don't pull them on and drive to the store. They're for decoration.
Well, because See? Who wears a helmet? Driving
well,
to
you
the
don't put
store.
On a helmet and say, like, all right, let's go play in the yard. You're like, don't touch that helmet. That's not to be worn.
No, because
then
that
what's it
helmet
doing here?
Is to
it's
be
decoration.
Worn 11 versus 11 on a football field.
No,
a
not if you have it in your house is decoration. Not if you have it in your house
is
decoration.
Its whole purpose is to be lit.
No, well, a ball's whole purpose is to be thrown. I know both of you have
you know
a baseball or a football sitting in your home as decoration
if
somewhere.
You have someone sign that candle, don't light it. You got Martha Stewart come through and sign
that
thing.
If that candle, if that candle's $35, no one's touching that candle. That candle is sitting there and it's just going to sit there.
We've got a Twitter poll going at a kid from Kent.
Did you put one out?
I put one out for throw pillows. Two options.
Okay.
They're either useless or useful. 54 votes in. I just put it up a couple minutes ago.
Okay.
74% said useless.
I question your followers.
So if you want to vote in at a kid from Kent, that's the poll where you can do it at.
Last week, Bump, you sounded off about the college football playoff rankings that were coming in. And you got to get something off your chest when it comes to Michael Penix.
Yes.
That's coming up next.
Bump and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On Seattle Sports Station.
Here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacey Rost.
All right. Don't forget that you can join our friends at Cairo News Radio for Holiday Magic, making the holidays brighter for children and youth in foster care statewide. Simply donate or participate in the online auction featuring a donation from our station. That includes four tickets to the upcoming Seahawks versus Rams game at Lumen Field. That's going to be at the end of the year, final game of the season. And a KJ Wright autograph football, plus a chance to sit in on our show. Learn more at mynorthwest.com/holidaymagic. Again, that's mynorthwest.com/holidaymagic. You are listening to Bump Aunt Stacy on Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app. Michael Penix Jr. isn't winning the Heisman. We kind of already figured that, but why isn't he even being invited to New York? He's not a finalist. You have your clear front runner in this one, and then everyone else. But Bump, you got to get something off your chest.
Yeah, I got to do it. So what I'm going to do right now, I have a cougar.
Oh yeah, I'll let people know
right now.
Now, last time that you sounded off about the college football playoff rankings, you were wearing a cougar hat, a cougar sweater,
yeah,
and had a cougar thermos as you were defending UW.
Yeah.
I will say today you're more Seahawks, yeah, but then you still got the Coug thermos. How many Coug thermoses do you have? That's an entirely different one.
Too many.
Oh God.
Too many.
Okay.
My wife, I saw her, Jennifer Bumpus. But see, I put that out there to let you guys know I'm still a cool, always be a cool, but game recognized game. And my job is to give you true and unbiased analysis. And that's what I'm going to do right here. So we're looking at the finalists. Okay. And I look at the finalists and I say, CJ out of OSU. Makes sense, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
These guys are 11-1, did their thing. You got Caleb Williams, who should win this
He's
thing.
He's going to win.
He should win it. Makes sense. Max Dugan, am I saying that right? I've watched many games of this man. He is fiery. The dude has tossed 30 touchdowns, only, what, 4 interceptions, ready to go. Then I look at my guy, Stetson Bennett.
Beg pardon?
Stetson Bennett.
Hmm.
I look at him and I say the best thing I like about this guy, that he's 5'11". Big ups to my 5'11 dudes out there, all right?
It's like when Macklemore was up against, like, Kendrick Lamar, Jay-Z.
Exactly.
It's exactly. And you were...
Exactly.
Peak Kanye West.
And won.
Yeah, and won.
And won. Stetson Bennett isn't going to win, but...
Stetson Bennett is invited, and my guy, Michael Penix Jr., is not invited. Let me tell you what Stetson Bennett... Now, the championship game against LSU, he balled out. All right, he was 23 of 29, 274, 4 touchdowns. Good game for that guy. 2 games prior to that, 10 for 18, 140 yards, 2 touchdowns against Georgia. Then he goes 13 of 19, 116 yards, no touchdowns, 1 interception against University of Kentucky, and then against Mississippi State, he throws 2 interceptions. This guy has won 2 games of multiple picks, okay? His lowest, I guess, producing game has to be against the University of Kentucky. Then let's go over to Michael Penix. What they're going to say about Michael Penix is that Oh, he lost to Arizona State.
They always point to
he
that
lost
one.
To Arizona State. Again, it's not a good loss. I was at that game.
Sure.
Still threw for 311 yards. Had one interception. Still had a chance to win the ball game. Then they back-to-back. They lose again. They lose to UCLA, a good football team. He still had 345, four touchdowns, and two interceptions. He has one game of multiple interceptions. All right, he has one game where he did not throw a touchdown. He leads the country in pass yards with 4,354 yards, 29 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, and is clearly one of the best quarterbacks in his league. So if Stetson is invited to New York for the Heisman, let's just call this what it is, just like the NFL MVP award. It's a good quarterback on a really good team award.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because Stetson is a good quarterback. He's not bad.
If Michael Penix was on Georgia, he'd be there.
Michael Penix on Georgia, he might run away with this thing. All right, especially with all the weapons that he has over there in Georgia. Now, he does have weapons over there at the University of Washington. We can't ignore that. But if you were to put these two together, you watch Stetson's film, you watch Michael Penix's film, Penix makes the better throws. He's on time. All right, Stetson is a bit more elusive, but he's 5'11". Penix is more of a pocket quarterback, but he can move. But Stetson is just getting the invite because he plays for the University of Georgia. And too many times I see guys who play in the SEC get the benefit of the doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Who was the strongest conference in the country this year?
Was it not the SEC?
No, it wasn't SEC. It was the Pac-12.
Oh, Pac-12. Well, in terms of
6 ranked teams, the strongest. Now, you look at the bottom feeders, you say, okay, well, they're bottom feeders. I don't care. 6 ranked teams in the Pac-12. And UW is one of those guys. So all I'm saying is, like, just stop the disrespect, man. Michael Penix is one of the best quarterbacks in the league. He is by far better than Stetson Bennett. Like you said, you put Penix on that team, his numbers might be even more ridiculous, especially with that defense holding him down. So it frustrates me because too many times teams and players on the West Coast just get overlooked.
Mm-hmm. Unless they're from California.
Unless they're from Cali. So if you would just stay up and subscribe and make sure you can watch the Pac-12 Network, because I know it's so easy to find. It's not. You subscribe, you might see some great quarterback play. So that's my only beef. I think everyone else deserves to be there. But I look at Stetson, and I look at his down games.
Yeah,
and
he has fewer touchdowns, fewer yards, fewer every single
everything.
Thing, except for, like, completion percentage is 2 percentage points higher, I guess. Congrats, but it's not – it doesn't matter.
Everything. He is a better – Michael Penix is a better quarterback than Stetson Bennett. And Stetson, no disrespect to you. You are a national champion. He has that pedigree. I get all that. You got to have that moxie to play in the SEC and win ball games. But we're just looking at the basic numbers, yards, touchdowns, interceptions, and percentages. Michael Penix got him in 3 out of the 4 things. So,
can you see a world where I know Michael Penix is coming back to Washington, where the Pac-12 next year makes more of a statement?
Say that again, sorry.
Can you see a world where the Pac-12 next year makes more of a statement? Because it, you're right. Without fail, and Curtis, you don't save your energy, there is some East Coast bias. Not now, Curtis. There is plenty of East Coast bias when it comes to this, in large part because of time zone differences. The Pac-12 after dark, who's tuning in to watch, Oregon State and Arizona State?
Not me.
It's, 11 at night on the East Coast.
Not many.
Exactly.
But that's their responsibility. That's your job. If you're going to have influence on – and not only do you have influence on the Heisman, you have influence on these young men's careers. Because the more you pump them up, the more pub you give them, the more likely they are to get a bigger contract or get drafted higher when it comes to the NFL. So I'm just saying, like, I know it's late. I know it's inconvenient, but you have a responsibility as a voter, as an influencer, to stay up and at least check this young man out. Because if you saw that game against, man, even say WSU, you watch that game, you see that this dude is something different.
And
he's
that was
special.
A good defense. That's okay. So I was going to say that too. The 206, Penix is a great player, but he wouldn't have those numbers had he played in the SEC.
Why? Why not? He'll have weapons on the outside. He'll still have a great offensive line. He'd have a running back. He'll have a defense that'll make it even easier for him to relax and go out there and ball. You can't just say that. And then for the 360, Caleb Williams cried after a loss to Utah. Disqualified. Come on, man. Have you ever poured your heart into anything and come up a little short? Not a little short. They got blasted. But to come up short, I don't like that comment.
I cry all the time. But also respect for athletes. I always respect athletes.
Stacey, you've never won a Heisman Trophy.
I have won some things. Curtis. Okay.
Okay.
There was a little thing called this, Twitter poll here. Fourth grade fire safety poster contest.
Oh.
I won and got to take a picture with firefighters on a firefighting truck.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Can I, one more thing before we go? I'm done. I've picked up my Cougar coffee.
You're done
cup
now. Yeah. You aren't saying anything good about Michael
Crimson
Penix or Washington after
back
this.
On. Penix, appreciate you, bro.
All right. Earlier, I asked you guys to start the show. Have the Mariners done enough this offseason? Keep chiming in about that. We're going to continue the conversation, though. We're bringing in another voice. Jason Churchill is going to join us. That's the first thing he's going to answer. And then we're going to find out what they still need to add. That's next.